This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Hall. And how are you this morning, Charlie?
I am wonderful, Dean. How are you?
I'm good. Did you have a nice week?
I did when I wasn't struggling with the snowblower.
Oh, I was not struggling with the snowblower.
No. I was just going to say, my week was a little different from yours since
Indeed.
You were down in sunny Florida.
I was, yeah. Zoomer Radio had me down there broadcasting and promoting the Florida Keys. So, yeah, I flew out last Sunday and arrived in Key West just after 1 p.m. And then we hit the ground running, talking to all sorts of people, visiting all sorts of places and doing all sorts of things. And we arrived back in Toronto last evening at just before 5:30. So, yeah, and a difference of 30 degrees, because when we left Miami, it was 26 degrees Celsius. And when we arrived here, it was -4. So. There you go.
A little shock on the body.
A little bit. Yes, indeed.
Did you get some, like, swimming in and eating sharks and fruits and all that important stuff?
We didn't eat shark, but we ate a lot of seafood. And I did get a tiny bit of swimming in. It was about 20 degrees most of the time that we were down there. But actually, it's very busy for me when I'm down there as well. Like, we're going from location to location to location. And we were broadcasting on the Afternoon Express with Liz live from 2 to 6 every day as well. So, and we would check in with Andy on the morning show. So, yeah, it was those trips are always full for me. They keep me going.
Yeah, I was going to say, nonstop.
Nonstop. And I will have something I want to tell you about. One of the stops specifically, I think that you will be interested in. And it's right up your alley. Thought of you the whole time I was there. So when we have a little bit of a spot in the show, I would love to tell you about that.
Sure. Sounds good.
Great. In the meantime, and I don't know if you have an announcement. First, I'll give out the numbers because we'd love for you to give us a call. If you live in Toronto, here's the number, 416-360-0740. If you don't live in Toronto, if you live somewhere else within the province of Ontario, here's a toll-free number to use, 1-866-740-4740, okay? And do let Anthony know, our producer, if you are a first-time caller, and then I will give you the garden wings, okay? And our mantra, of course, call often, call early, and please, please, one question per call. Okay. Any announcements, Charlie?
Just quickly, I'll let everybody know that this coming Thursday, December 12th, I will be Zooming with the Kingston Horticultural Society, the 7 p.m. The topic is gardening in a changing climate. If you wanted to get involved and participate in that, I'm not sure if Kingston Hort opens himself up to the public, but you never know. Look for them at GardenOntario.org, and you can get in touch through their website, and perhaps they'll share that Zoom link with you if you'd like to join us this coming Thursday, December 12th, 7 p.m.
Okay, the only thing that's the next best thing to seeing you in person, Charlie, is to seeing you on Zoom. I've had the experience of both, and they're both great.
Thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
It's fun.
Okay. We are going to take a quick break. Of course, you're in your home studio in Prince Edward County. I am in the Toronto studio in Zoomerplex with producer Anthony. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio. And Charlie, let's go to our first caller. We have Mary on the line from Burlington. Welcome to The Garden Show, Mary. Hey there, Mary. How are you?
Morning.
Okay, you know what? Let's put Mary on hold. We'll go to our next caller. We have Frank on the line from Ancaster. Welcome to The Garden Show, Frank.
Good morning. And good morning to you, Dean. I'm on another avenue here. I got a question regarding my hydrangeas.
Yeah.
And it's to do with the heading. Now, I've got to get a sort of solve a bit of a debate here. I've always felt that you should not dehead them when they dry out into the late fall and into winter. Now, I have a fairly large bush there that's all dried out, and I don't want to touch the heads and take them off until we get into the prospect of spring coming, let's say in March. Right or wrong?
Actually, interesting debate. Thanks for asking that question. You know what? You can do either. Some people like to take those bronze-colored flowers, you know, they're past their prime. They like to take them off in the fall. They use them for ornamentation inside the house, you know, putting them on wreaths or bouquets, whatever. They're quite beautiful. They will hold up inside. But just the flowers, not the whole stem. They'll just take the flowers off.
Right,
Next spring, they'll do the proper cutting the plants right down to where there's green growth showing, you know, down when things are really starting to happen. I, on the other hand, I like to leave them entirely alone. I leave all my hydrangeas standing all winter. I enjoy the flowers. I've got different kinds of hydrangeas. And yeah, I mean, when it's really windy, some of them will blow, you know, break off and blow. But otherwise, I find them really pretty. And of course, the birds like to fiddle around in the flowers. Sometimes they find, who knows, seeds or something in there. So you can do either. There's nothing wrong. The main thing is that they do get pruned before the growth really gets going next spring.
You know, I'll tell you, we actually, there's another bush that my wife takes the cuttings off late in the year, and as you said, she decorates with them too. But that's the one I'm referring to specifically is the Michaelphelia, which is the one that you put aluminum sulfate in, and it'll go pink to blue, and I had a beautiful outcome on that one. And I think people have given me different ideas about what they think rather than what is right, and I think I'm doing it right here. So thank you. Just the same, I'm going to leave them alone and carry on.
You're actually right. The Macrophylla, which is the one also known as a big leaf hydrangea, they're the ones with the round flowers as opposed to the conical flowers, which is a different kind of hydrangea. Again, I treat them both the same. I leave all the flowers alone for the winter and do my radical cutting back in the spring.
Okay. I got it from an expert, right?
You did.
You did.
You did.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
you
thanks very much, Frank.
You can quote me on that, Frank.
Charlie, I think we got Mary back on the line, okay? So we're going to go back to her right now. Welcome to The Garden Show, Mary.
Yeah, good morning to both of you.
How are
you?
Great.
I'm very
Thank
good.
You.
And what do you got for Charlie there, Mary?
So I bought a little 4-inch red poinsettia at Terra. It was beautiful. A couple of weeks ago, it was dry, but I let it get drier, I guess. And I watered it last Saturday, actually, just before your show. And I came into my kitchen this morning, and the leaves are all drooping. And it's sitting on my kitchen table, but I have bay windows, and it faces south. So I don't know. And it still feels damp to touch. So I don't know what I did wrong.
So that's very good that you felt the soil, because you're right.
Yes.
Sometimes when the leaves start drooping on a plant, we think, it's dry, I better water it. But always check first, like you did. If the soil is moist, do not water it. Perhaps what happened when you watered it last Saturday was, did it perk up? Did it look all, you know, perky, and the leaves were standing where they should have been afterwards?
Oh, no, yeah, it was perky when I watered it, but the soil was, the pot was very light, so I took it out of my little ceramic pot, and I put it in the sink, and I just ran my plant water through it, let it sit there for a half hour, then I brought it back to the kitchen table.
Okay. All of that sounds good. So the main thing with poinsettias, it's possible, though probably not on a kitchen table, they don't like drafts. So no hot drafts, no cold drafts. Watering thoroughly like you did is good. It is possible that it's not really very bright on your kitchen table, though you said, you know, southern windows and bay windows, it should be fairly bright. But the days have been quite cloudy this week. So it could be it's slow to use the water that you watered it with last week. So do not water it again until the soil feels dry. So feel it every day. In the meantime, make sure it's not sitting in any water in that little ceramic dish that you've got it in. Maybe just for a day or so, put it a little closer to one of the windows, maybe on your kitchen counter. Just get it to dry down a little faster by putting it in a slightly brighter spot, because they like bright indirect light. But it should use that water. You'll just have to wait and see. Sometimes if they get too far gone, they get too dry or too wet, they'll drop some of their green leaves. But I'm sure some of the colored leaves are still there.
Can I just put it on? I have wide ledges in my mm-hmm. bay window. Can I put it mm-hmm. right by the bay? I mean, in Burlington today, it's very cloudy.
Right. Not me too. Nice. It's yeah. So today would be a perfect day. You could put it right on the window ledge, but make sure that the actual foliage is not touching the glass.
Right. Right. Okay.
Because right, that's cold. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much. Good luck with that, Mary. Yeah, Tara does grow beautiful plants.
Thanks very much for the call there, Mary. And yes, it's all about poinsettias and amaryllises this time of year, right?
Well, and paper whites and Christmas cactus and all kinds of stuff that's happening.
The Christmas cactus, my goodness. As well. So there's lots. There's lots that can still be growing in our houses that we associate with this holiday season.
There is. And, you know, just thinking again a bit about what Mary said, when we buy a holiday plant or we're given a gift of a poinsettia, as an example, it invariably comes in a real festive foil wrapper. And it's pretty, but it is very hard to water with those things because obviously you can't just sit that on the table. You have to put the whole plant again into that ceramic dish. And again, it's hard to water, hard to see what's going on. So even though you might love that wrapper, first, you know, most important tip of all is get rid of the wrapper. Take the plant out of the wrapper. Get the plant into something like Mary said. She's got a little ceramic bowl it's sitting in. And you can see what's going on then. And that's true with any of your holiday plants. Cyclamen are a good example, too. There's a lot of cyclamen this time of year, and they do not want to sit in water.
Okie dokie. Okay. We are about to take a break. Here are the numbers again. Toronto number 416-360-0740. If you live outside Toronto but still in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, you said that you've been dealing with a snowblower this week. Is this correct? Yes.
Well, you might remember that Elliot broke his foot back Thanksgiving-ish time. And so he's been off his foot. He's been told to not use it at all.
Gotcha.
Though, the cast is off. He's got that walking boot thing going on.
And so he's milking this, right? He's just milking it. Charlie, could you get me my tea?
Ever?
Charlie, could you get me? Could you put my foot up?
I have accused him of milking it on more than one occasion, trust me. So I was telling Anthony earlier, so we got some good snow falling and I got out there with the snowblower, but I was a little slow to get out with the snowblower and it started to get very mild. This is a few days ago. I managed to get the main driveway done, but by the time I was done the main driveway and heading off to the accessory driveway, it got too wet. It got so warm. It was just mush and my blower could not blow the mush. So I'm sort of half done here, but it's fine. You know, you can get in and out of my driveway. That's the main thing. And Mr. Purulator just came up and went down and I just saw him go. He's dropped some little, you know, package at the door.
maybe some seeds. Maybe somebody sent you some seeds.
Maybe, yeah. Or a poinsettia.
Or a poinsettia. Just you make sure you take that foil wrapper off, okay? Well, if it's a poinsettia, you take it off.
And Water carefully.
You water carefully, indeed. I'm going to tell all our listeners that we have a substantial room on the line. Okay, we're going to go to a caller on the second, but you know, don't wait until the last 10 minutes of the show to call, because you know when that happens, I'm telling you, there is a very good chance that we will not be able to take your call if you are the last in line. Then, okay, so call us now 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Can be an indoor gardening question, can be an outdoor gardening question. Let's go to Trudy. She is calling from St. Catharines. Welcome to the Garden Show, Trudy.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas, Charlie and Dean.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Yeah, thanks. I have a question about tree trimming, and I know I don't need to do it till the spring. I have a hackberry tree in my front yard that's about 5 years old. The lower branches are quite low, so if I cut the grass, they're kind of in my face. Mm-hmm. Will that tree grow, will that trunk grow taller so those branches will eventually be higher up, or do I need to trim those lower branches off?
That is a great question. That, you know why? Because your confusion is absolutely normal and common, and we all have that same question. Okay, the way trees work, though, the growing happens at the tip, at the very top, at all the tips. So those branches that you're hitting your forehead on now will always be at forehead level. They're never, the tree doesn't grow from the bottom. It only grows from the top. So yes, what we call that raising the canopy. So you will raise the canopy by removing those lower limbs in the spring, as you point out. And when you're, now is such a great time to really look at trees that are young, like a five-year-old tree is a perfect tree to study in the winter because there's no leaves and you can really see the framework of the branches. And a deciduous tree, generally speaking, all of them should have a single leader. So a single growing tip that runs through the center of the tree and is where, you know, more growth will come from. Of course, the side branches, same thing. You've got tips happening on those. In a perfect case, when you stand at the base of the trunk of your tree and you look up into the tree, you should have a branching all of the 360 degrees all the way up the tree. And you want roughly 18 inches between each of those side branches. But you want them to be circular, if you will. You know, one sticks out at the east and then one at the west, the north, the south, but 18 inches. And try and envision that in 20, 30 years, those branches you're looking at are going to be major branches. Those are going to be, you know, serious. Yeah, they're what you're going to hang the swing from, you know, in 20 or 30 years. So you have to sort of envision how they're going to grow. But yes, removing the lower limbs to be able to walk beneath is absolutely appropriate.
Okay, and there is one leader, but there's another branch that's kind of competing with the leader. So what should I do with that one?
Well, the leader will be the one that's winning the race, the tallest one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it will stay the leader as long as it's taller, you know, it doesn't get knocked off by a wind or something. So good question. What do you do? Well, sometimes, I mean, if they're absolutely even, I choose one and remove the other. If one is clearly dominant, then I don't worry about it, but I watch it and keep an eye. You may ultimately decide that it's best to remove that because there are the angles when it comes to the side branches, how we sort of want them almost 90 degrees, like for the side branches. But up at the top, of course, they'll be, you know, narrower in terms of their closeness together. But yeah, keep an eye.
Okay, thank you so much. That's so helpful. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks very much for the call, Trudy. Okay.
That's a good question.
So, Charlie, before we go to our next caller, I just want to briefly tell you about this one spot that I think you would find very fascinating that we went to in Big Pine Key. Of course, all the keys have different names.
And of course, a key is just an island, right?
It's just an island, yeah. And there's a whole series of them all stretched together. And so in Big Pine Key, we went to a place called Grimmel Grove, okay? And it is a fruit orchard, but not just any fruit orchard. This was started decades ago by a gentleman who is no longer with us, and then it became abandoned. And basically what Adolf Grimmel did, which by today's standards is certainly not permissible, is that he visited all sorts of places in South America, the Caribbean. He learned about fruit trees in these areas, and he would bring seeds back to Florida with him. And so what he did is he was a big fan of dynamite, apparently, because, of course, there's not a lot of soil on these islands, and he would dynamite out big big areas. He would put in he would pour concrete divisions, and then he would bring truckloads of soil in, and he planted all these trees that you would never find in the Florida Keys. And but the temperatures were right, and so all of these different fruits. And then he died, and it became a band, and he never had any children. And then in 2011, this gentleman, who originally is from Prince Edward Island and grew up as a potato farming family, he bought this piece of property, and he has revitalized this garden. And then it was devastated in 2017 by Hurricane Irma, and so then he started all over again, and this thing is fascinating. I mean, when we had a whole, I'll send you a picture of the plate of fruit we had, you know, ranging from avocados to his big thing is breadfruit. And so, and breadfruit is a huge thing there. And I pressed sugarcane through a press and we drank it right off the, you know, it was just like,
that's
really,
yummy,
really neat place. So many
did
different,
you taste the breadfruit?
We did. Oh yeah. We tasted about, honestly, we tasted about, and he has his own types of mangoes and lychee. And we tasted so many different fruits on that he grows on this property. Fascinating.
Wow. Yeah. I just, you know what? I just have Googled it. I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, Grimmel
Grove. Breadfruit is it's a big tree. It's a big, beautiful tree. Mm-hmm. And the fruits are so heavy. Like, if they fall out of the tree and hit you on the head, they could kill you. Like, they're really seriously heavy.
Yeah.
But they're pure starch. It's like a potato hanging in a tree.
Yes. Right?
You boil them like a potato, put a little butter and salt on them.
He had a fryer we ate, right? And he made some breadfruit fries, and they tasted almost like French fries.
Yeah, exactly. They're amazing. So breadfruit, I'm trying to think, where were we? We were in Mexico? Yeah. No, we were in Hawaii when we were doing that TV show. And breadfruit is something that they're working on at one of the botanical gardens there, because that's one of those, you know, feed the world trees,
yes,
or plants.
It is.
It's a very long-lived plant, and it doesn't have a lot of pests or diseases, and it does provide an awful lot of sustenance.
And apparently, if you have one breadfruit tree, can basically sustain a family for their entire lives.
Exactly. Yeah, amazing.
It just keeps producing.
Wow. See, this is the website's great. So Grimmel's, let's spell that for anybody who wants to look it up.
Grimmal. Okay.
Right.
One. It sounds like it should have two M's, but it's but it's Grimmel. Mm-hmm. Adolf Grimmel is the one who started this thing, and he was a bit of a loner. You know, like, so not a lot of people. He was very shy, but he had this fascination, and he would travel all over the world and bring these seeds back, sort of secretively, and then he would plant them and get them growing. And very fascinating.
Okay, but moving seeds around is not illegal or. It's okay. You're not going to get arrested for being seeds. What would be the issue? You mentioned he brought in soil. Like he tried to set up an environment where he could grow this stuff. So he had to do excavation and soil remediation and all kinds of stuff that way. That might be harder to get away with now.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. And I think it's one of the only breadfruit groves in the United States. Like, it's very unique, and it's getting some attention now. Because of the diversity of this, you know, another big thing that we saw there, the jackfruit. Jackfruit is enormous.
Right.
Like we had one, I held one in my hands with 30 pounds.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Yeah, but and mangoes too. Mangoes aren't in season though, are they right now?
No, a lot of the fruits weren't in season. There were sort of remnants of them there. But he still had a lot of them. And he's working also with a distillery, and they have produced a breadfruit vodka, a line of them. And so, Dean got to taste all of those too.
And my kind of place.
And then it was good because he wasn't driving after that. He was, anyway.
Well, I see on the website, Gordon Ramsay, my son is a huge fan of Gordon Ramsay, the chef.
Yep.
I guess he's got some National Geographic show called Uncharted. So bottom line is, I guess he has gone to Grimmel Grove to learn about breadfruit and learn about cooking with it.
It's starting to get some real big attention. And it is, again, a very interesting little detail that Patrick, who is the owner of this, is originally from PEI. Yeah, potato farming family. So neat.
Nice.
Okay, let's. Totally. We're going to go to our next caller. We have Susan on the line, and she is calling from Burlington. Welcome to the Garden Show, Susan.
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Morning. Merry Christmas.
Good morning.
My question is about a bougainvillea plant. I have had it outdoors and then indoors and outdoors again for about 3 years. And at this point, it's one that has, it actually has three stems, but one is split and they're guided over a four kind of obelisk thing. But it has kind of suffered somewhere on coming in this time. So I only have small leaves at the very tips, on the very kind of end branches of, they're still each, there are leaves on each of the branches, like main stems, but it looks really sad. And I don't know whether to feed it, to prune it, to just leave it alone until the spring. I do
have
a grow light.
Where is it in your house?
Sorry?
Where is it in your house?
It's in a sort of bright room, but it's a west-facing window, but it's a high window. I do have a grow light I bought to put on it, a ring, you know, all spectrum, but I don't know how long to put that on for, or if I put that on, or whether I'm better to leave it just dormant now. I need help.
Okay, sounds good. So listen, it's good if it's showing green tips. It means it's alive. And there are sort of two ways to deal with this. I would be inclined to use your grow light. You want the grow light to be like obviously above the plant, at least, you know, a foot or more above the plant. If you can put the grow light on a timer, you want to give it 12 hours of light and 12 hours of no light. It will just give it that, you know, so think of the equator, right? At the equator, it's always 12 hours day and 12 hours dark. And of course, bougainvillea is a tropical plant and it's naturally going to be attuned to that kind of light levels year round. So of course, you'll put this plant out in the summer, but for now, I would do the light 12 and 12. You're ultimately going to have to prune it back. You're going to want to prune it back because you're going to want to force out some new growth and to make it a much bushier plant. For now, if there's no green leaves down on the stems and only little green leaves on the tips, I would just let it be, give it light, water very carefully. You don't want it to soak it. You don't want to overwater it. It's not going to do a lot of growing right now. You basically just want to keep it alive. All of our plants use less water in the winter than they do in the summer. So, and of course, making sure they never sit in water. But the light will be important just to keep it photosynthesizing, keep it, you know, perking along slowly but surely through the winter. By February, you're going to start to see little green buds along the stems. You may even by that time have seen a bunch of growth out of the tips. And by, you know, mid to late February, you're going to go to town and really do a proper pruning it right back. You're going to maybe cut it down by as much as a half at that point. But for now, I wouldn't do any of that. And do not fertilize right now. Wait until you do that big pruning job and then fertilize.
Okay, that's great. Right. I will follow your instructions. And I'll report back in the spring.
You got it. You know.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Both Susan and Dean are following Charlie's instructions.
Taking notes, I hope.
Absolutely.
If I speak too fast, remember, you can always listen to the show again via podcast.
Right.
Just go to AM 740 Podcasts, The Garden Show, and pick today's show.
It's true, yeah. If you ever miss a detail and you want to listen to it again, or you miss a portion of it, or you miss the whole thing, you can always go back, you know, and because you could be out right now getting your, you know, your tree or something like that, and so or snow blowing. Depending on where you are. I got to say,
I think we're all going to be just hauling our umbrellas out in the next few days.
Well, that's what I'm hearing as well.
Yeah, it's sort of, I'm hoping, I mean, right now there's a few little flakes coming down at my place. And it is white. My ground is white and it's lovely. And I'm dreaming about a white Christmas. So we're hoping that this, you know, even if it is going to rain and it is going to all melt, which is fine. I'm not anti-rain because my well is very low as well. But yeah, I'm hoping we will get some snow again.
Yes. Now, Toronto doesn't have a ton of snow, although it certainly there's little pockets of white everywhere, but you got a fair amount. Certainly, I'm told that when we get back to Collingwood, that apparently we got a, you know, I think a couple of feet there. And then, of course, if you, the big news, some of the big news from what I read when I was away was that if you go to the likes of Gravenhurst, they got something like 4 feet in 24 hours.
And you parts missed of, that, right?
Yeah, parts
you
of Highway 11
Florida.
Were closed down. Yeah, we left on the morning of the 1st, and there was no snow all the way down. And by the time we landed in it was happening here, so we missed that altogether,
just
which made for a much nicer
hours.
Drive. Yeah, in fact, we left early from our place. We left around 12:30 because our flight was at 6 a.m. We left just after midnight because we didn't want to get held up in any bad weather, and we missed it by hours. Yeah.
Yeah, because Highway 11, which you would have relied on to get south, was closed.
Yeah.
Well, mind you, it was closed between between
it was
Aurelia
closed
and
north of yeah, it was
days.
A little bit north of us. But yeah, Liz West was telling me on the Afternoon Express last week that she has a friend who got stuck on that highway for 9 hours. Yeah, they were
horrible.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, so but it happens, absolutely. Okay.
Well, they had. I mean, the one thing is that like nobody died, right?
No,
there was a lot of people stuck on that highway, but they had all kinds of snowmobiles out, and they were rescuing people and taking them, you know, home for hot chocolate and stuff. Like, I guess it was horrible because your whole schedule got messed up.
Yeah.
But at least they were able to rescue people because it just was at a standstill. There was so much snow so fast.
And what a great way to have hot chocolate. I mean, really.
I know.
You know?
Off the back of the skidoo.
Want marshmallows or whipped cream on that? You know, whatever. Okay. Numbers to call us, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on this, the 7th of December. That's, it's before, like, Christmas is going to be here before you know it.
I know. Well, and you know, it's kind of fun this year. Christmas, the 25th of December, is also the very first night of Hanukkah.
Oh, nice. They don't always they don't always coincide right like that.
No, not at all. Gosh, Hanukkah can happen in November, but it's 8 whole days. So, for anybody out there who, like me, celebrates what we call Chrismukkah, then it means we get to do latkes, which is traditional for Hanukkah, and light candles starting the same night that, of course, we're having Christmas turkey and, you know, all the trimmings.
Oh, does that make it more difficult? Does it make it easier?
Oh, it's great. It's all about food.
Well, I know.
And my daughter is great. She steps up big time.
So it's okay when they're, I mean, because I know, like, sometimes when things are together, they have different customs, but you can blend them together very nicely?
Oh, totally.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can.
Okay, beautiful. I'll take
fun.
Your word
it's
for it.
It's all good. Yeah, it's all. Yeah, for us, it's all about food. All the different holidays that we celebrate, and so there's special traditional foods, latkes being and chicken soup being a couple of big ones for Hanukkah.
Yeah,
so, and latkes are just like potato pancakes.
Yeah,
right? Just
love them.
Fried.
We've made them at home. Our family loves them.
Oh, of course. They're the best. So, I mean, you got to do your mashed potatoes with your turkey. So we'll probably actually do our latkes on when we're doing what we call Christmas Dinner 2.0, which will be on Boxing Day.
Lovely. Okay. Now, you've heard, you know, Charlie, you know about the first day of Christmas being a partridge in a pear tree. I have it on good authority that this next caller has a question, not about a pear tree, but a fig tree. Okay, we're going to David in Mississauga. Welcome to The Garden Show, David.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. My question about fig. I inherited 3 cuttings off a fig tree, and I want to start them. Mm. And I was just wondering, like, how much light, water, do I need to put a supplement in the water to help the roots grow? What should I do to make sure they survive?
Right. So right now they are just cuttings, what we would call dormant cuttings from the tree.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got them in about 6 inches of water. Had them in there for a week, but I want to know if I should add supplement and light and that.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? This is where we need Stephen Biggs. because he wrote a book called The Fig Pig, and he knows figs.
Yeah.
So it is very popular to root figs through dormant cuttings, which is exactly what you've got, late fall. But I'm just, I don't know if they water, we use water to root cuttings when the trees or the plant is actively growing. The thing right now is they are not actively growing. So I will just do some next break. I'll do a little more research. In the meantime, do you have something called rooting hormone at your house?
No, I don't have anything yet.
Okay. So there's something called stem root is the trade name, stem root. There's number one, number two, number three. It's a powder in a little bottle. You can get it at any garden center. And if you read it, it'll say that number one is for softwood cuttings. Number two is for sort of medium wood cuttings. And number three is for hardwood cuttings. So that's what you've got. You've got hard, well, probably hardwood dormant cuttings. So if you're going to buy some stem root to stimulate rooting, you buy number three, and you would, it's a powder. So you're going to keep listening, and I'm going to give you more details when we come back, because water will not ultimately be the best way to root those. You're probably going to want to go into a moist soil, and you want to keep them cool but bright, and if you can, and then they are going to slowly but surely produce some roots, but it's going to take a while. It's going to take 6, 8, 10 weeks to get roots. And then the spring, you'll be all ready to go to take those little cuttings with roots and move them up into pots or you know, big whatever you've got planned for them. But in the meantime, I will mention, if you would like to do some of your own research, Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, Biggs, B-I-G-G-S. He wrote two books. One is The Fig Pig, and the other one is Grow Figs Where You Think You Can't. And very, very good books and very full of all kinds of great information. And he's been on the show before. He's also very accessible through the web. So feel free to send him a question if you want to. Just he's a highly talented horticulturalist and he loves figs. He's never seen a fig yet that he didn't want to have in his basement all winter and outside all summer.
Fabulous. Thanks for the call, David. We are going to take our next break. We'll be back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show on this Saturday, the 7th of December, and Charlie, let's go to our next caller. We have Bill on the line, who is calling from Pickering. Welcome to The Garden Show, Bill.
Hi.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You go ahead, Bill.
Yep. All right, welcome to the show.
I have a garden bed, probably 30 by 15, which was for the previous owner, a very nice veggie garden, but has been left for 2, maybe 3 years. It's now just full of weeds. Is it too late to tarp it down now with black tarp and weight that down?
No, if you can get out there. Are the weeds very tall?
Some of them are 2 feet, 3 feet, but I'm going to use a weed whacker and knock them down.
Yeah, if you can. If you can get out there, the lower you can cut everything with your weed whacker, like right down as close to the ground as possible, and then tarp it. The trick, of course, is making sure you seal the edges of the tarp so that there's no light getting underneath there, and preferably no water. So, I often put 2x4s along the edges. Even if it's a big enough tarp, you can roll the tarp and the 2x4s into the tarp all around the edges, some rocks, etc. Or you might, do you want to grow vegetables there again?
Yes.
You know what you might find even better, and I've certainly done this, and it's even better than tarping. So tarping will kill everything below, but it won't add any value other than a bunch of dead weeds. However, if you can, if you have a bunch of, you need some cardboard, maybe some newspaper, a couple of bags of composted manure, and instead of laying tarp on that 30 by 15 garden, lay something that actually is organic based that will decompose slowly. Start with cardboard, like do your weed whacking, lay the cardboard or newspaper or whatever, you know, it could be a paper product of any kind, something that will block the light. And then again, throwing, you can throw leaves on top of that. You can throw, go to the store and get some manure or garden soil, anything on top of all that cardboard and paper, and then leave that all winter. And instead of having just dead weeds below, you'll have dead weeds below, but you'll have all that extra organic material that will provide even better soil so that you can be planting next spring.
Okay, cardboard, then
if you have leaves sticking around, still
manure and soil, and then the tarp.
No tarp at all. You won't need a tarp.
Okay.
There's
great.
No tarping required. You just do like a lasagna layer, if you will, on top of the existing vegetable garden after you've cut down all the weeds. But make sure that it's a thick enough layer that you're not just feeding the weeds. You're actually going to suffocate them because your layers of cardboard and soil will do that.
How about 3 inches of mulch? And
sweet,
mixed
that
with
works.
Manure.
Yep. But
perfect.
Yeah, you still need mulch, will let light in. So make sure you've got some paper or cardboard
below the
mulch. Okay.
Gotcha.
Good luck with that.
Okay. Thanks for the rebrish for the call there, Bill. Yeah, a vegetable lasagna. There you go. Love it. Love that analogy. Love that picture you painted there. Okay. Let's go to our last caller. We've got Sandra on the line from Etobicoke. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sandra.
Good morning, Charlie and Dean.
Morning.
My question is, I have to have some work done in the house, which means I have to move an approximately 40-year-old peace rose. I do have a location to put it. Any tips on what I should do at this time of the year?
And this is all happening in the spring?
No, it's happening in a couple of weeks.
Ooh.
Oh, it is. And you have to move that rose?
Yes.
40-year-old rose is a really hard rose to move, just so you know. So you have a spot planned. The main thing is you're going to do some root damage when you move it. So you're going to have to recognize that you're leaving some roots behind. You're going to have to shrink the top growth to match the loss of roots below ground. So prepare your hole in advance. Make sure it's beautiful, fertile soil, full sun, etc. When you dig the rose, dig the biggest root ball you possibly can. And when you lift the rose, try and make sure the soil stays in the root, attached to the roots. Even I'll use an old piece of sheet or towel or burlap or something so that you can literally dig a trench all the way around the rose, undercut the root ball, roll down some burlap, bring it up around, tie it in a little ball, pick the whole thing up, bring it to the new hole, put it in the ground, same level that it was growing before. Bone meal, if you've got bone meal, a handful of bone meal into the hole, plant into the hole, undo the burlap, but leave it there, fresh soil all around, water thoroughly once, and cross your fingers that it gets going in the spring. No fancy fertilizer now. And next spring, just wait and watch. Don't crank a lot of fertilizer right away. If you want to do any fertilizing in the spring, do it as a plant starter type fertilizer. And like I said, you are going to cut it all down to do this. You're going to bring it right down to being maybe a foot tall and wide.
So sorry, okay? Sandra, we have to run. Okay,
yeah,
we've run out of runway
go.
Here.
I just said that really fast. Good
yeah,
luck. 40-year-old rose is a hard rose to grow.
Gotcha.
To move.
Do you want to do a fig update next week? Yes, for the gentleman who called about the figs?
Yeah. Well, there's so much information on how to do figs and how to do them right. But bottom line is he should do, David, there's so much out there. Figs, dormant figs are the time when we propagate, but there's a lot to know about doing it right. Water will not be the best way to do it. A grow light will be required and a 70-ish or warmer room to do it. But either way, it's moist media, warmth, light, and make sure you put them in the ground the right way up. It's hard to tell sometimes the dormant sticks, which way's up and which way's down. Anyway, thank you, everybody. Thanks, Dean.
I wish
I could see your great suntan I'm sure you've got.
Not really, but it's all good.
I know.
I got lots of D, though.
Yeah, yeah, good for you. And yeah, thanks for getting back in time for the show. And thanks, Anthony. Couldn't do any of this without you. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.